as I'm just going through the struggles and turmoil and just craziness of living. I'm not talking about even doing anything amazing. I'm just talking about just waking up and going through life. And sometimes I wonder, has God forgotten me? I know you guys have kind of in the middle of a series that where you're dealing with important questions. But I'm just curious, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever felt like that? You're going through something, and it's just not working out. And you ask yourself, where's God at in this? What is God doing? Does God care? Does he even know what I'm facing? Has God forgotten me? Now, let me tell you what us very good Christians do, because we do try to encourage each other. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That was very weak. I need a better amen than that, please. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That's a little better. We do try to encourage each other, right? And so when somebody would come to me and say, I just feel like God has forgotten me. Or I could say it to someone else. Sometimes I feel like God has just overstepped me and moved past. And somebody will always give us that great Christian advice. You just got to trust God. Now, that's great advice, amen? What does that even mean, to trust God? I mean, I can say it all day, but what are the practical steps to trusting God? How do I know what that even looks like in my life? Glad you asked. While our question could be, has God forgotten me? It could very well be, how do I trust God? Today, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 27. Beginning in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Let's just stop there for a second. So what we see here, we see that God's people are saying, God, I feel like you don't even see me anymore. You ever felt like that? God's people here are saying, God, have you passed over me, or have you stepped over me? Have you walked away from me? Have you left me behind? Because I know there was a time I really felt it. I felt the closeness, but what I'm going through right now, I don't even feel like you're with me. You've probably never been there. I know I have, and I wish I could say, yeah, but that was a long time ago. No, it can happen at any time for anybody who truly loves the Lord with all their heart. You can reach a place where just the world is just so overwhelming that you wonder, has God forgotten me? So that's basically what they're asking here. But let's look at verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen. All right, so let's begin to break this down into bite-sized chunks, because I know I can trust God, but how do I do that? How do I do that with my life? But can I tell you, how I do that with my life will never even make sense until I know how to do it with my thoughts, until I know how to do it with the way I'm thinking. Because the word repent in and of itself literally means to have a change of mind. Now, we automatically think of to repent of something is stop doing the thing you're doing. But guess what? You'll never stop doing the thing you're doing until you view that thing differently. So that's why the word repent means to have a change of mind. So if I am going to change the way I feel about God when I feel like he's forgotten me, I have to view it differently in my mind and in my heart. So let's look at, we're going to look at a couple of very simple things here. The first one, number one, remember that God is working even when I can't. Remember that God is working even when I can't. Look at verse 28 again. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor grows weary. Isn't that something? God himself neither faints nor grows weary. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I think of the word faint, what it literally means is to want to give up or to give in or to quit. Anybody, or is it just me? It's probably not you. Sometimes I just want to go, just forget it. Just forget this. It's just... And why? See, I know God doesn't give up, but I do. I know that God never gives in, but I do. I know that God never wants to quit, and he never does, but I do. My peace comes from knowing, even when I've done all I can, it's not over yet because God's still working. I'm going to wait for you to say amen. When I've done all I can, that doesn't mean it's through. Because guess what? All I can will never be quite good enough. But all God can will always be enough. So peace, how do I understand? How do I trust God when I feel like he's forgotten me? That's knowing that he's working even when I can't. Many years ago, I heard about a woman who was... Really in a very overwhelming time, just life was just really knocking her for a loop. And she was really having trouble. She stayed up at night. She just couldn't sleep. She was just wide awake. And for days, she hadn't slept. And one night, she was just laying there, tossing and turning. And she said audibly to herself, but actually talking to God as well. She said, okay, all right, God, I need some help here. I'm just going to open my Bible and read. And I need you to give me something that's going to help me sleep. Because I just can't rest with all that's going on. And she opened her Bible. She opened her Bible to Psalm 121, verse 2 through 4. It said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I think we just sang that. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And she said to God, she said, well, Lord, apparently you're going to be up all night. And since you are, there's no need for both of us to be. I'm going to trust you with tonight. And she closed her Bible, and for the first time in a long time, got some rest, just because she realized that even if she won't fixing it, even if she won't solving it, even if she won't making it all better, even if she wasn't correcting every problem in her life, God was still working. You may have reached a point in some of your attempts to move forward in life, and you've done all you can do. Aren't you glad God's not finished? I'm pretty sure I probably shared this illustration with you before, but it's the one that always pops in my mind when I think of things like this, and that's the mouse or the gerbil or the hamster in a cage. Anybody ever owned a hamster or a gerbil or mouse in a cage? You know, you don't see it that much these days, but years ago, when I was growing up, getting in a hamster, they always put them in a cage, and they have a little wheel in there. That little wheel, and the little mouse will get up there all day long, all night long. You just want to stop it, please. But it just keeps going. The mouse has got one thing in life. I got to get on the wheel. I'm going to take me a nap now because when I need to wake up and get on the wheel. I'm going to eat because I need my strength. I got to get on the wheel. Now, I read some very interesting information. Do you know that a mouse on one of those wheels can travel 9,000 miles in its lifetime? Now, how many of you have any clue how far it is from New York to California? It's about 3,000 miles. So that means a mouse could go from New York to California, from California back to New York, and from New York back to California on that wheel. And it's still in the same stupid cage it has always been in. Sitting on the same dresser it has always sat on. 9,000 miles sitting right in the same spot, not going anywhere. That's the way life is when we try to fix everything. You can go 9,000 miles or even 9,000 miles an hour trying to fix it, and you'll be right on the same cage you were from the beginning, because there's only but so much you can do. My peace comes from knowing that when I know I've done all I can do, my God is still working. Go ahead and say amen. We'll wait for you. Amen. Second thing, the first one was remember that God is working even when I can't. The second one is remember that God knows what is going on even if I don't. God knows what's going on even if I don't. Verse 28 ends with, his understanding is unsearchable. His understanding is unsearchable. Now, what makes that so precious is simply this. It means that you can take every avenue that you can learn about. You can gather every piece of information. You can Google everything you want to Google. You can ask Jeeves and all these other offshoot things to try to find answers to problems. You can do all the research in the world. And if you gather every bit of information that you can gather about what you need to go through, you still can't even scratch the surface of what God knows about it. God knows everything. As I know you've heard me say before, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God has never seen something happen and said, huh, ain't that something? I'm going to do something about that, I think. Before God ever said, let there be light, he knew every struggle, every fear, every worry, every problem you have ever faced and will ever face. And guess what? Because of that, he's already working on it. God, nothing that you've ever gone through has ever caught God by surprise. He knows everything. And if you remember, in the book of Job, which is a difficult read because there's not a lot of joy in the book of Job. I mean, it really isn't. It starts off with him losing absolutely everything. Everything. And then he's got all these great friends that come around and that kind of talk to him and say, I tell you what you ought to do. I could see him that day doing the head like that. I could tell you what you ought to do, Job. Or Job, I know exactly what's happening. And they're wrong. They're completely wrong. Not only that, not only is he not getting support from the people that should be supporting him, his wife even tells him, why don't you go ahead and just die, get it over with. You know, so I mean, okay, wow, this is great. So not only has he lost everything, the things he still has are overwhelming him. And then he begins to get deathly ill with boils and stuff that are hurting him so bad that he's actually taking broken pottery and stuff and cutting them to relieve the pressure. That's how much pain he's got. And do you know what Job's problem was? If you read it, it's amazing because Job is like almost 50 chapters long. And if you read it, he's got one problem with all of it. He keeps telling God, tell me why I'm going through this. If I just knew why, I could do it. Haven't you felt that way before? In the middle of something, you're like, well, God, I'm not even asking you to take it away. I just need to know where we're going. I didn't even need to know what's happening. I need to know why I have to go through this. If you just tell me why, I could do it. Of course, God's answer to Job is, you just got to trust me. You just got to trust me. Job, if you look, we have Job here, Job 12. Verse 10 through 13 says some very practical human things, but then it really gives us the truth. Verse 10, in his hand is the life of every creature and breath of all mankind. So Job admits that in the hands of God is everything. God controls everything. But then he begins to ask questions about, well, you know, I too can gain some control over this stuff. Verse 11, does not the ear test words? And the tongue tastes food? Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? He says, look, as I get older, shouldn't I understand everything that's happening? But then he answers the question here in verse 13. To God belong wisdom and power, counsel and understanding are his. Job said, I should understand everything, but I don't. But the only hope I have is that I know God does. And there's going to be times in your life when you're going through something or you want to fix something or you want to change something and you're not even 100% sure how this is even going to work out. Trusting. So what does it mean to trust God? Trusting God means I know he's working even when I can't, but also know he knows what's going on even when I don't. My only peace sometimes is knowing that this has not caught God off guard. Whatever I'm facing now, God's not surprised by it, and he's already working on it. I may have to wait it out and walk it out, but he's already got it worked out. Heard the story of this child who was very, very, very afraid of the dark. He hated the dark. And he and his parents went visiting some family, which was a good little ways off. And on the way back home, you know, they went to a place they had never been. So on the way back home wasn't familiar to the young boy. And then it got dark. And they're riding on these back roads, and it's completely dark. He can't see anything. So he's already scared. Then, of course, it starts to rain. And not only rain, it's pouring down rain, where it's just beating on the car. You even hear it hitting the car. It's raining so hard. And of course, then it starts to lightning. And so the little boy's in the back. He's scared of the dark anyway. All this rain, all this lightning. And he just starts to cry. And his parents up front, and his mom turns around and says, honey, what's wrong? And he said, I'm just scared. I can't see anything. I don't know where we're going. And she said, well, honey, you're not driving, so it doesn't matter. Your father knows where we're going. Just trust him to get us there. You know, many of us do have that old bumper sticker theology of God is my co-pilot. But if God is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats because he's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. You're the co-pilot. He's the one flying. My peace comes from knowing that God's working even when I can't, and that God knows what's going on even when I don't. And the third one, remember that God will give me strength even when I am at my weakest. God will give me strength even when I am at my weakest. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Some of you will remember this, but many years ago, there was a deodorant that came out with a commercial that made that deodorant the hottest selling deodorant in the history of deodorants for that time period. And they had one very simple marketing tool because it tapped into every one of our greatest fears. The marketing tool was simply this: never ever let them see you sweat. So I got to get this deodorant because it's got antiperspirant in it too, meaning I can hide my sweat. Well, that's exactly what we want out of life anyway, right? I don't want anybody ever to see me sweat it out. I don't want anybody to ever see me struggle. I don't want anybody to ever know that I don't have it under control. I don't want anybody to ever know that I don't have it already worked out. The fact of the matter is I don't. I got no idea. But I know my God has already got it worked out. I know that he will give me the strength when I am at my weakest. I know that God will always lift me up when I can't get up. Heard a story many years ago of this young man who was kind of new to the construction site. He was a big, burly, strong guy, young man, and he was really, really kind of arrogant and cocky, if you will. You know, he was just a lot of mouth, always bragging. And whenever they would sit around to eat their lunch, you know, the whistle would blow, they'd all go to lunch. And while they're sitting around eating their sandwiches, you know, there's always equipment just laying around, whatever. And he'd always, I bet you $500 I can pick that up, or always this. You know, he's always bragging. And then one day he had a wheelbarrow sitting there, and he said, "I guarantee you, you put any man in this wheelbarrow, I can lift him up just like that. I promise you. I bet $500. Of course, everybody's been listening to him yada, yada, yada for a long time, so everybody's just ignoring him because he probably can. He is a pretty burly, strong guy. But there's this one older gentleman that's been on this, you know, been working this construction stuff for many years, and he's just eating a sandwich. He's not bothering anybody. He's just kind of giggling to himself a little bit. And the young man looked at him and said, "Hey, Pops, get in the wheelbarrow, I can pick you up." He said, "Nah." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, put anybody in this wheelbarrow, I'll bet you $500 I can grab the handles and pick it up." The old guy said, "Okay, I'll take you up on that." And the old guy walked over to the young guy, picked him up, and stuck him in the wheelbarrow and said, "Pick it up." That is me trying to carry myself through life. And sometimes I get very weak. We all know the story, the great poem, the classic poem of Footprints in the Sand, you know, where the person dies and goes to heaven, is talking to God, and God's kind of giving them a picture of their life, and you see footprints in the sand, and sometimes you see two prints walking together, you know, of two different people walking side by side, and the person asked God, he said, "God, what does it mean when there's two sets of footprints?" And God said, "That's when we were walking together." But then sometimes they would see one set of footprints, and they would say, and then they said to God, "Well, what does that mean that when it was only one set of footprints, is that where you left me?" And God said, "No, that's when I was carrying you." Now, if it was my footprints, there would be a couple sets of two, then maybe a set of one where it's carrying me, and then a whole lot of drag marks where I'm sure he was just dragging me forward because I just can't move forward on my own. But I know this, that picture of what God does is absolutely, absolutely true. Absolutely true. Psalm 46. 1-3 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." So in other words, even if everything else around me is collapsing, God is still my refuge. Don't let your peace be determined by what's happening. Let your peace be determined by you know who's there, who knows what you're going through, who's working even when you can't, and he will give you the strength to make it. Just hold on to him. He will give you the strength to make it. 2 Corinthians 12, 8-10, a very well-known scripture. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Those days that you just don't have it anymore, it's not a bad day. It's not a good day, but it is a God day. It's a day when you take a deep breath, when you rest, and you just say, "God, tell God just very simply, I got no idea what's happening here, but I'm so glad you do. I can't do any more, but I'm so glad you're still working. I just need you to give me the strength to keep getting up. And I promise you, he will. Why? Why can I promise you that? Because he promises it. All right, number four. Remember that God will turn my tough times into a time of victory. God will turn my tough times into a time of victory. Verse 31. I love the way this section ends. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. Very simply, God is at his strongest when I'm weak. His power shines through me when I'm most powerless. When I can't go on, he'll carry me. And when I think it's over, he'll give me victory. We're going to close with this. God teaches us some very important truths about tough times. And these are things we should learn in the middle of tough times. Number one is this. Tough times teach us to depend on God. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. And that word forsake, and if you break it all the way back to the original Greek meaning of what forsake means, it literally means to drop. I want you to think about that. Because it says he will never leave nor forsake. So the word forsake doesn't mean leave. Leave means leave. Forsake means to drop. See, I think that's our struggle as believers. We believe he'll never leave us. But every now and then you feel like he might have dropped you off somewhere. Anybody ever feel that way? So I think I may have slipped through his fingertips. I mean, I know he's not gone because he's God. But the promise is, I will never drop you, which means you're safe in the hands of Jesus. And I can promise you there will be some days that's the only peace you got. You ain't going to get it at home. You ain't going to get it at work. You ain't going to get it at church. You ain't going to get it from friends. You ain't going to get it from family. You ain't going to get it from neighbors. The only thing you're going to get peace from is knowing that God will not drop me. And I'm safe in his hands. The old saying that when I'm down to nothing, that's when God's really up to something is very, very important. Next thing. Tough times teach us humility. Tough times teach us humility. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He resists the proud. I'm going to read a verse to you here that's not going to be on the screen, so just keep the screen there. It's 1 Corinthians 10:12. Jot this down in your notes, because this is one that needs to be a part of your life. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Did you hear that again? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. What does that mean? It means simply this. You be careful those days you think everything's going well and you don't need God. You know those days you're standing on your own alone pretty well? That can be the most dangerous time for a believer. That's when it will crumble right underneath of you. Stay humble. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So in other words, if pride is a problem for us, I should not be surprised if God's not working in my life because I'm too proud for him to. But when I'm humble enough to know I can't do this without him, that's when he steps in. But tough times remind you that you need to be humble because it is those times when you realize, I got nothing. Next, tough times teach us that we can't always get what we want. You know, those great theologians, the Rolling Stones. You know, those great theologians. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find. Finish it. You get what you need. Now, that is the Rolling Stones. But I do believe that's also what God promises as well. I'm not comparing the two and saying they're equal. I'm just saying they made a decent statement there. Because God never promised to provide for our greeds, but he did promise to provide for our needs. And in the middle of tough times, as I'm struggling through, God will provide everything you need to make it through. It may not be exactly what you want. It may not be exactly what you hoped, but God will always provide for your needs. I want to read another verse to you that's not on the screen, so no need to switch screen yet. It's Philippians 4:19 that says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So my God will provide every need you have according to his riches. That's important to me because sometimes I measure my struggle by how big my problem is. And I think to myself, I'm not 100% sure that God can take care of this. And I wouldn't audibly say it out loud, but it kind of runs through my emotions. But the fact of the matter is, my problem size is not what matters. What matters is the riches and glory that God has. And trust me, he's got a whole lot more than that than you got problem. So he can provide every need. Next thing we see is that tough times teach us to examine ourselves. Tough times teach us to examine ourselves. What I mean by that is that, you know, everything that happens in life is not my fault. That's hard for me to admit because sometimes I feel like it is. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes things do unfold and I need to make some adjustments in me, in my life, in what I'm doing. And so when I'm going through tough times, that's a great time to prayerfully approach God and say, God, is there something I need to be doing different? Is there something I need to start doing? It's not even about doing it or not doing it to fix the problem as much as it is getting you in the right frame of mind and heart to let God work. And you say, God, is there something I need to change? Something I need to start doing that I'm not doing? Something I need to stop that I am doing? Something that you just want me to adjust? Tough times ought to make us look at ourselves and say, I wonder if there's something I need to change in this process. Because if I do, I need to make that adjustment. I need to make the adjustment. All right, the next one. Tough times teach us character. Tough times teach us character. That's very simple. I often think that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be calm, be cool, stay collected. I got this, no problem. I faced problems before, and then the problem comes. And I freak out and pass out right there. Lose my ever-loving mind. I get all shaken up, scared, worried, and I'm thinking, I thought you said you had this. Why? What is the problem? But see, what tough times do, tough times reveal to you who you really are. Tough times are sandpaper times. You know what sandpaper is? Sandpaper is only serves one purpose, to rub off the rough edges. Tough times reveal your rough edges. So you may be going along real fine, and then some problem happens, and you realize that your attitude isn't as great as you thought it was. The way you treat people, not the way you thought you were going to do. Every person who has ever lived a decent portion of life has one time or another done something or said something that 10 minutes before, if anybody asked you if you would ever do it or say it, you go, not me. But you just got riled up. Something happened. You don't even know. You just, wah. Tough times reveal your character. That's not a bad thing. Because when God allows it to be revealed, that's what he's whispering to you. He's like, okay, so I see this problem you got. I'm working on the problem. But that little attitude thing you got, we need to work on that first. Because even if this is never fixed, that's got to be fixed. Your attitude, the way you treat others, the way you talk to each other, it reveals it. Tough times make that just pop right up. Next one, tough times teach us patience. Tough times teach us patience. Sometimes God's timing is just not our timing. And sometimes waiting on God is just not easy. Amen? It's not. In fact, we just read here, though, where it says, but those who wait on the Lord, verse 20, 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But it says, who gets that power? Who gets that strength? Who gets that ability to keep moving? Those who wait on the Lord. Now, the question is, what does waiting on the Lord mean? That's a deep one, too. We could spend a long time talking about that. But I always think of it this way. I used to think waiting on the Lord is me going, okay, God, I told you. I'm here when you need me. Just tell me what you want. I'll be over here out of the way. But then it dawned on me, what is the person called when I go to a restaurant that brings me my food? The waiter or the waitress. See, we have then in our mind waiting on the Lord means to just sit down. But every aspect of the word wait also has attached to it, just keep serving. Your waiter serves you. Waiting doesn't mean just sit back all the time and do nothing. In tough times, you know what the best thing to do is? Get busy. Just get busy. Just start doing something to try to be a blessing to somebody else. It doesn't have to be anything huge. It could be phone calls. It could just be a little note you send to somebody. It could be anything. But just serve. Serve God during the tough times. Don't let the tough times make you stop. Now, I am a firm believer from my experience that one of the main reasons people leave church or leave God-focused time is because something happened and they asked God for something and they didn't get it. God didn't fix the problem the way they wanted. Or God didn't take away the situation the way they wanted. And what happens is that's when we want to bail on God. Nope, that's not the time to bail on God. That's the time to know He's working even when I can't. It's the time to know He knows what's going on even when I don't. It's the time to know He's going to give me strength even when I'm weak. It's the time to know that He's going to get me through these tough times and give me victory. Patience is very important. And I believe it's lastly, tough times teach us that we can survive. You might not think so. Right now you're feeling like you won't. But I promise you, if you just stay faithful, just remember the four things that we said you got to do to be trusting God. Know He's working when you can't. Know He knows what's going on when you don't. Know that He's going to give you strength even when you're weak. And to know He's going to give you victory. You hold on to those things. You believe them. You remember them. That is trusting God. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." I really like that. Because what you see here is a righteous person falling. And as I know we've talked about this before, but the word righteous, the very deep, deep theological meaning of what does the word righteous mean? It means to do right. To do right. So the man who does right still will fall seven times. So you know what that means? He kept getting up. Because as long as you know you're doing right, God's in control. Now see, if there's a part of this where you know you're not doing right, that's the where you need to check yourself. See if there's something you need to change. But if you know you're doing the best you can and you know God's in charge and He's in control and He's going to take care of you in these tough times, just get up, keep moving. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Don't faint. So the question is, what are you not trusting God with today? Is it some health stuff? Maybe financial. Maybe relationships. Those are Satan's favorite playgrounds. Because if he can keep your relationships taut to frame, he'll keep you taut to frame. Maybe it's somebody else in your life that's really struggling. You'd like to see them fixed, but it's not happening fast enough for you. Amen? Can anybody say amen to that? But truthfully, there might be somebody looking at you and going, I wish God would fix them. You know, so looking at me going, you know, I know I'm the biggest part of anybody that knows me, their problem. So I wish I could say it was always them. But we need to thank God in advance. I want to read to you as we close. We'll close with a song and in prayer. But I want to read to you some lyrics. Now, if you guys have never heard, have any of you ever heard of a man named Wayne Watson? Heard of Wayne Watson? When I first became a believer, one of the first CDs a friend of mine gave me was Wayne Watson. It was called A Beautiful Place. If you have not heard it, you need to hear it. And so this would have been back in the mid-90s, right? So it's not any really hard rock, heavy metal stuff. But it is. He's great. But I want to read to you some lyrics to his song. Is called Walk in the Dark with Jesus. And he asks some questions as he starts off, which I believe we ask. He says, where are you taking me? He's talking to God. Where are you taking me? Why are we turning here? You ever felt like that? I feel like we're turning. The road is strange to me. The path is not so clear. I guess this must be the place where my doubt turns to faith, where I close my eyes and take your hand. And then he goes on to say, I've made some plans, you know, mapped out a strategy. We've all done that. We know what needs to unfold. He said, I've made some plans, you know, mapped out a strategy. Somebody tell me, where did the seasons go? I like that. We said, I got it all planned out. Then he turns around and looks and says, what's happening here? Where did all of it go? I thought I had a plan here. He says, have you forgotten me? But I've heard the darkest hours just before the dawn, and wherever you are, the sun, S-O-N, will shine. There will be shadows, but I won't be shaken, because you've never forgotten a vow. You've never failed me before this, I know. And Jesus, you won't fail me now. And the chorus is simply this. I'd rather walk in the dark with Jesus than to walk in the light on my own. I'd rather go through the valley of the shadow with him than to dance on the mountains alone. I'd rather follow wherever he leads me than to go where none before me have gone. I'd rather walk in the dark with Jesus than to walk in the light on my own. Being in the dark, not knowing what God's doing, does not mean he's forgotten you. Now, I'm a very transparent person. You don't have a sage on the stage. You have a guy that just makes it through life holding on to Jesus. And some days, I got no idea what's happening. But what I do know is he has not forgotten me, even though sometimes Satan will whisper that to me, and sometimes I'll even kind of lean into it, but he has not forgotten me. He's working. Even if I can't tell he's working, he's working. And even when I've given up, he hasn't. I know he knows what's going on, even when I don't. I know when I'm at my weakest is when he's at his strongest. So I don't pout over my weakness. I let him be strong and give me what I need. Like I said, either walk with me, carry me, or drag me through it. He's still going to get me there. And I know in the tough times he promised, he's going to give me victory. Whatever you're going through, whatever your biggest worry or fear is, God's not finished with you yet. Don't give up on him, because he sure has not given up on you.